Standing our ground. Ephesians chapter 6. I won't read it all, but I'll read a couple of the verses here. Finally, what would you say if you'd finished writing a letter to the Apostle Paul? He says, finally. What an exhortation for this. Thanks, John. What an exhortation this is for the year end and the year to start. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Dear Lord, bless this thy word. We thank you, Lord. We just announced Calvary's victory over this place, over my heart as I proclaim this. Lord, we speak against the principalities and the powers, so I thank you for the blood of Jesus. We declare that as well. And we thank you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. There's no support in Scripture for launching an attack against the devil. I'll say that again. There's no support in Scripture for launching an attack against Satan, the defeated one or the dark one. There is a battle to be fought. There is a battle to be fought. But our role is neither to win some spectacular victory, nor even to launch an all-out offensive. It's not part of our mandate. Our function is primarily, if not exclusively, defensive. And so we ask the question, who attacks whom? Who attacks whom? Paul does not exhort the Ephesian church to launch an offensive against Satan. You don't see that anywhere. He urges them merely to stand firm in the face of attack. Four times in this paragraph, he exhorts them to hold their ground. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God in order that you may be able to stand. Take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to withstand. And having accomplished everything, to stand. Ephesians 6:13. Stand then, Ephesians 6:14. So you get the drift of it. Four times in a very short paragraph, he says, do whatever you do, all that you might stand. So this exhortation is the main thrust of the entire paragraph. All that precedes and builds towards the exhortation that they are to be strong in the Lord and to put on the full armor of God. In other words, we're not looking to give the devil a black eye. We're not chasing spirits. We're not looking under every chair for signs of demons. That just isn't our mandate. That would not interest us whatsoever. But this is that we be strong in the Lord to put on the full armor of God so that we might be able to stand firm. The goal is standing firm. All that follows from that passage, it reinforces the exhortation. The rest of the paragraph elaborates the spiritual disciplines which will enable them to stand. And he lists what those enablements would be from Ephesians 6, verse 14 to verse 18. So the key here in this interesting, marvelous, exciting passage, and yet different, it just is really a strategy that he's giving out here. So the key here is the exhortation for us to stand firm. I would say this coming year, stand firm. Stand firm. That's what we need to do. The metaphor portrays soldiers. Threatened, and these soldiers, I might add to that, these soldiers threatened by the enemy, engaged in close combat, under fierce assault, the commander does not order them to launch an offensive, but to hold their ground. In the light of all that the devil is doing, we hold our ground. It involves standing firm. That's not always easy. It involves standing firm, holding one's position, resisting, not surrendering to the opposition, but prevailing against it. The position of the church, the posture of the individual Christian, is a defensive posture. We're not on the attack. We're here to protect and reinforce and to make sure that Calvary's victory is being enforced. It's not our victory. That victory has already been won. And so it's interesting to note that to stand does not mean stand around with your hands in your pocket. Because some would say, doesn't it seem a little like a way to be defeated? Here you are just standing. But it's not standing doing nothing. It's standing to be alert. And it means to hold the ground already taken in the face of an enemy who is out to destroy us. And so the enemy comes with a counteroffensive, and our job is simply to hold the ground. And I'll say, why is that? We don't win any victories. The Lord has won all the victories. The Colossians especially, that triumphed over them, made a public demonstration of it. He has defeated the blood of Christ, the death of Jesus, the resurrection, the ascension. It's all been done. And that's why we don't go attacking. Jesus has already attacked him and immobilized him, at least for this time. And our job is to make sure that continues to happen by just going about doing what we normally do, holding the ground already won in the face of an enemy counteroffensive. So Christ has won the battle. That's why the songs that we sing are really important. Because when we begin to exalt the name of the Lord and we declare that the defeated one has been defeated, not by us, not because we were strong, but because how Jesus was, and therefore we can be strong in the Lord. We're to stand firm in the face of satanic counterattack. And the battle begins endlessly, day in, day out, forever and forever and forever. The enemy is desperate to take back the ground that has been gained by Christ. But of course, he can't. It can't be done. Though this is a permanent victory, and any day now, the white stallion will appear, that white horse that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the armies of the Lord will come with Jesus and to put the final kibosh on it all. And here we are in this new year doing what? Take your stand. Stand firm. There will be moments to be discouraged. The enemy will make sure of that. You will see, there's something about you and I. It's because we belong to the Lord. Therefore, if you don't, you know, like I said, I don't believe in demons. Oh, well, just accept Jesus into your heart. You sure will then. You'll know within moments of that decision walking home. You'll be aware that the enemy has been at work already to discourage and to thwart your enthusiasm. I can think of hundreds of things that he does to try to take the hue off the rose. And so there is that constant force. And we're to stand firm with the armor of God on, but it's defensive. We don't go looking for trouble. I see that quite among, especially Pentecostal Christians. They're kind of looking as if we're going to fight against the devil. Well, I'm not in. You can go off if you want to do that, but you will be soundly thrashed in 1,000 different ways. You see, we simply stand in the light of the finished work of the cross, and we bless the Lord, and every day we thank him and we praise him for what he has done and what he's done 2,000 years ago and who we are because of him now every day, the power of the Spirit to guide us and direct us. So, to stand, that would be a great t-shirt. I've often liked to think in terms of t-shirts. Wouldn't that be a great t-shirt? Stand, therefore. There wouldn't be anybody except the in-house group here would know what is that? Okay, I'm sorry, we can't share that. We can't share that with you. It's a family secret. Stand, therefore. As a reminder, as we see each other. I should open up a t-shirt company. Because I got a pile of those things. They haven't gone over that well so far, but they're messages. They're messages that alert us and warn us without being preachy. So, to stand, it's a favorite subject of Paul's writings. And without exception, it always carries with it a defensive connotation. Just for example, you don't have to look these up, but they're there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, stand firm. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, stand firm. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, stand firm or stand mature. The exhortation to stand, it presupposes that Christians, are under attack. We just assume. And I was just reading J.O. Fraser, missionary to the Chinese up in the mountains of China, and the Lisu people. I can't ever put that down hardly. It's just unbelievable. Of this man alone, the only Christian within hundreds and hundreds of miles. And there he is alone bringing the gospel to the Lisu tribes. And the attacks on him are just, it's terrible. It's just awful. The only lightness of it, I remember when I first read it, I laughed so loud because he finally found a wife. I don't know where he would have found her out there. And it was a dark and terrible place. But he finds this woman, and her name is Roxy Diamond. I thought, that can't be a pastor's wife's name. Roxy Diamond. That doesn't do it for me. Yikes. Hey, Roxy, how does that work? Oh, I don't know. Just the wrong name for a godly woman. Isn't that though? Now that I got your attention. So, there he is, all alone, praying. Why? Because he has to pray to stand firm. Reading the Word. Why? Because he has to have the Word working. And every time you read that man's life, someday, there's actually a short video out about him now, I think. I would look very much like to see. One of my heroes, I've never met him, but I will. And to say, what an inspiration you were as you stood for Christ and you stood for truth and you declared it and you were so discouraged at times, but he never, ever gave up. So if you see that, he wrote a book called Mountain Dew. Or no, he didn't write it, but it's about him. And if you want to read a missionary, if you like missionary stories, there's a book you will be terrified over when you're done. There was no fences out in the country. There was just wild animals starved. They just starved the dogs so the dogs would attack whatever he could. And he pulls up on this horse. Of course, the dogs come and attack, and they just devour the horse. And it's quite disturbing, but it was just how it was. And in the back of all the doors of all the homes of the Lisu people, they had demon shelves. And those shelves kept protection and kept you from getting sick if you lived in the house. And so what his job, when they did it for years and years, nobody got saved. No, not one. Year after year after year. You just imagine how tempting he must have wanted to quit. And then there was one. One. Imagine that. Imagine the excitement of that first one. And then it began from a trickle to a deluge. And I think towards the end there was about 6,000, maybe 10,000 believers that had come from that one man who stood firm under tremendous darkness that he faced. Well, I'm just saying, this is a very practical thing. When we stand against the forces of darkness, we don't attack, we just stand firm. So therefore, when it says, put on the armor of God, he's not kidding about that. I'm so disturbed by the lack of understanding of that among our own people. As you put the armor on, that's kind of cute. Put in the armor, kind of a nice metaphor. It's absolutely important. It's all we have. We just have the armor. And it's defensive. We put on the armor every day. because the attacks will come on your integrity, the attack will come on your faith, the attack will come on your health, the attack will come on your marriage, your attack will come on the church, attack will come on our evangelism, and everything else. There will be attack on each other, so we fight each other, and somebody leaves, and somebody's mad, and we don't even see this. Do you not see that? This is the nature of the battle. Well, you've got to put the armor on. You wear it. Can't go out without it. Right? Can't go out without it. Because it will be against you and forces. So when we stand firm, therefore, be strong, therefore, in the power of his might. Well, our problem is if we're presupposing that there is a war that we're in, and we've been selected to be in that. When did you say, I don't remember signing up. The minute you said yes to the Lord, you become an attack now of the enemy because he saw that. That's why I am sure if anybody gave their heart to the Lord on Christmas Eve night, you know the first thing is the enemy would send a party over there to where that person was sitting, bring that person and say, oh, this, don't put your hand. Don't accept the Lord. No, your friends are kind of, there's already, just this battle going on in one's mind. And then you get home and your uncle says something, oh, you went to the church? Well, and the next thing you're not so sure you made a good choice. And you know what I'm saying? This is so powerful, even when you first start. And that's why we need always to be instruction as to how to be strong in the Lord, because we are, again, presupposing some things. And what is that? Where there is a human weakness, the whole passage of Ephesians 6, it presupposes the weakness of men in the face of demonic attack. And so he drives that home and he says, listen, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This isn't against personalities. This isn't about denominations. This isn't about my neighbor. If this is a force great, the devil is the enemy. Another Christian said, "Well, he attacked me, or she attacked me, probably." But you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I like that, strong in the Lord, because it's assuming that I'm not. It can't be in my strength, because I will be defeated within a very short time. But it presupposes this weakness of us so that we, as we put on the armor, we are strong in the Lord. Here's the point. Christians need power. Christians need might. And Christians need strength. And they need them in the degree that only God can provide. I'm not responsible for the army, for the armor. I'm responsible for putting it on, but I'm not responsible for it. He clothes us with light. I love that from Romans, clothed in light. We put on that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we quote that, and we memorize Scripture because we know that we'll need it. And so twice, Paul urges them to put on this full armor. Ephesians 6, verse 11 and Ephesians 6, verse 13. Twice he mentions, put on the armor of God, the armor of God, the armor of God. So this is the armor that is necessary, even though we're not looking for a fight. See, I think most Christians would say, well, look, I'm not looking for trouble. You don't bother me, and I won't bother you. The only problem is that the devil doesn't keep his end of the bargain because he hates you. That's the bottom line. Yep. He had nothing against me before I accepted Jesus. Matter of fact, we probably could have been buddies. But the minute I said yes to Christ, I now am on the dartboard, and you are. And even if it's only to put you asleep, where you just doze, I don't mean this morning, we can make allowances for this morning. Anybody who's dozing, it's been a long weekend, long time. But apart from that, he loves to just let them, don't let them cause it. Just put them asleep. And so we're asleep at the switch. not aware of the importance of what's, warfare going on all around us in every direction, in every place. And here we are, we don't even aware of it. How crazy is that, right? If anybody should, we should all say, there is a war on, and you've been enlisted when you gave your life to Christ, because the devil hates Jesus Christ. That's the essence of it. And so we clothe ourselves, knowing that that will come. I've seen it hundreds and thousands of times. Sometimes it's like somebody getting baptized. They'll phone up the night before and say, hey, I have to cancel out. Something's come up. I say, yeah, but you were so excited about that. Yeah, I know. But no, I don't think I should. I had a disagreement with my wife. Some little story behind it. And so they back out. Someone else phones the next day after the baptism. And they say, I don't think I could be a Christian. Well, you just got baptized. I saw you get baptized. Yeah, but I'm just not worthy. I've already kind of blown it. And I said, oh, don't worry about that. You'll blow it 10,000 more times before this is over. And but you know what? In every case, it was to kind of take the hue off the rose, just so that person would feel nothing happened, no advancement was made, you weren't very sincere, or you call that, you're not a real Christian, you wouldn't have had that. Real Christians don't act like that. So that's the kind of a thing that sometimes it's before. You want to see action? Give your testimony. Decide. Now phone up the office and say, Owen said I'm supposed to give my testimony. Okay, so you give your testimony. How many know that'll be the worst week you've had for a long time? Why? I don't know. It's because you're testifying of the saving grace of Jesus. But you say, well, something that simple, that's all I'm saying, something that simple, and you say, oh man, it was the worst week, or the week after you gave your testimony, where you just felt so discouraged and so oppressed and so just downhearted, and it kind of spoiled it all for you because it was supposed to be such a glorious thing. All I'm saying is the enemy uses whatever he can to bring about, to thwart the purposes of God, to somehow take away from the battle that's already been won. That's why we're not to worry, but we don't care in one way what the devil's doing as long as we walk with the armor of God on. So this human weakness, we have to have clothing on. You must have your armor on every day. When you get up, say, and you know what I do? I do a little pantomime. It's not any big deal in one way. It's nothing, nothing really insightful. Say, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the belt of truth. Lord, if there's any lies in me, if there's any deceptions in me, just root them out right now. But I thank you. And I just go through that little list, and I even kind of picture myself putting it on. I don't think that's necessary. I don't find that in the Bible. But there it is. Why? Because it makes me realize that today is the day the Lord has made, but there will be battles. I'm a soldier of the Lord. You're a soldier of the Lord. We have been called into combat to reinforce Calvary's victory. Quite a thing, isn't it? And so we marvel at ourselves that God would choose us. We're so weak. I say, I'm to win in this battle. Yes, you and I both. So Paul just urges us to put on all the armor that has been made available. We do not have strength in our own resources to withstand the enemy. I'll say that again. We do not have strength in ourselves, in our resources, that we come with an utter weakness. We know that the enemy could attack this church. It could be completely thwarted and blown apart within a month. How do I know? Because I've seen it. A strong work and something happens. Something goes a little haywire. Something as it goes south, it's just, boy, and all of a sudden that's in trouble and somebody's resigned and there's trouble. Finally, the work's gone. Say, wait, there's no church there anymore. What? Because the breath of the devil came roaring like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and found a church and attacked it. And it doesn't even exist. I marvel with you. I say, wow. But doesn't it tell us? See, actually, well, we're a really cutting-edge church. Oh, don't even go there. That would be the last concern, that we are a cutting-edge church. Don't even be so arrogant of that. Oh, and don't be arrogant of that. We have nothing to brag about. It's only we walk day by day in obedience to Christ, only by his grace and by his mercy. Right? It's just by the mercy of Jesus that we've got nothing in us. And you say this real cutting edge, real sharp group of people, oh, we're so sharp, we got this, we got that, we got the music, we got the preaching, we got the, and I say, yeah, well, that's okay, but tread lightly and gently and softly, because the enemy doesn't care a bit about that. Right? He doesn't care about that. He will be singling out individuals. There won't be anybody in a church that isn't under attack. Now, it's not a matter of going around saying, you know, we're under attack, right? Yeah. As if there's some clandestine thing. It's a metaphor. But I know what it's talking about. And I know how things can come to discourage us. A very great discouragement. I would say that's probably the number one condition of leaders is discouragement. Because somebody said something or did something and just crushed, you know, just, oh, man. And I know that person probably never even got up in the morning and said, I think I'm going to go and oppress the leadership. No, I don't think so. Just, you know, just used of the enemy. And I do not want to be used of the enemy. I know you don't want it either. So, but we don't have the strength or the resources to stand against it. That's just the point we'll make. It is God who supplies the weaponry. So clothe me, Lord. I'm putting on the armor, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, all these glorious things, powerful things. So we actually wear Christ's armor by which he won the victory over Satan 2,000 years ago. The devil is a defeated foe in this degree, that 2,000 years ago he was publicly humiliated and his power was taken from him. And so what he has now is basically smoke and mirrors, but it's very effective. And so when we're battling him, we're just aware that the enemy he's been defeated. But we have to constantly remind that the dark prince has been defeated.
Yes.
And we put on the armor of God, battle against him as he comes to attack us, as he comes to attack the work, as he comes to attack the church, the prayer meeting, the preaching, on and on and on it goes. So as he won the victory, we thank him for the belts, for the breastplate, for the sandals, for the shields, for the helmets, all from God, all from God. So that's this human weakness. That's the one thing we work with, human weakness. But there's another part, and that is demonic opposition. We need so much protection because of the identity of our opponent. By the way, to be a good sermon to carry and continue on, one of the secrets of victory in our own lives is understanding your true identity. So you know who you are in Christ. That's such a powerful thing, such an amazing, amazing thing. So this demonic opposition, we need so much protection, because I don't feel, a number one, human weakness, and number two, demonic attack, opposition. Wow. So what do we know about the demonic opposition? What do we know about that? Well, we know that our opponent, there with him come the rulers. Do you know much about rulers? Along with that comes along the authorities. Rulers. Secondly, authorities. Thirdly, worldly rulers of darkness. And then on top of that, spirits of evil in the heavenlies. And when you get through that list, And you say, wow, that's what we're against. Rulers, authorities, worldly rulers of darkness, spirits of the evil in the heavenly places. Do you know what that says to me? Where's the prayer room? I think we better get to the prayer room. I think we better call ourselves to prayer. Because if we have any strength left, looking at our own human ability, first of all, and then looking beyond that into the spirit realm, is that what we're against? That's what you're against. Or let me put it a better way, that's what's against you. That's what's against me. These are not flesh and blood. They are not flesh and blood. No, not at all, not even slightly, but spirits. The battle for us is probably not so much the devil as the demons. I don't think probably many of us rank far enough along for the devil to be too worried about us. But the demons, the spirits, they come. And so the battle begins. Meanwhile, it's kind of interesting. The opponents, the reason why we have to pray and the reason why we must gather and humble ourselves and just thank God for the protection, because here he comes to seek whom he may devour, the lion, right? And he looks for an open window, an open door. He looks for an attitude. He looks for where there's consent and where there's permission. That's what he looks for. And so the opponents, and again, here is why the danger, they're not human. They're not flesh and blood. They're supernatural. These forces are supernatural. You are not supernatural. That's why there's a problem. I'm not supernatural. The enemy comes, and because of our weakness and because these opponents are supernatural, so we Christians are way out of our league. We're far beyond. We are sad. Oh, look around. Think of it. Who feels strong knowing that that's what the opposition is? We kind of thought you'd kind of duke it out with, you know, an evil footing and an even footing, and the battle would come and you'd fight and they'd fight. When these forces come, who can stand? Who can stand an attack on your health? Who can stand an attack on your integrity? Who can stand an attack? Nobody. Except we cried on the mighty power of God and the finished work of the cross and what Christ has done for us 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Lord, that we announce Calvary's victory. We proclaim Jesus is Lord. We thank you we declare an open sky over our church. Lord, that we would be strong in you in the power of your might. We put on the whole armor of God. We have nothing. Lord, we confess we have nothing to brag about. We've got nothing to lean upon except the everlasting arms of God. We fling ourselves on him, saying, Lord, make me strong in you. I am so weak. Oh, man. And when I realize now what the real battle's about, all of these entities, as they're released against the church and the churches, it's not us. So therefore, that's why, I need my brothers on the North Shore and these other churches. I can never understand it when people sometimes don't want a fellowship. I look for it because I know that'll be a strength. You have some other brothers and sisters that too are in prayer and they're seeking God and they're godly people. And we team up together and to encourage each other, because we know that if the Baptist pastor is down, then the next week it'll be the Pentecostal pastor that's down. And we pray for one another. We lift each other up, right? That's how it has to be, because we pull our boats together. There's no room for competition. None. No, it can be no competition. It's just, we're just branch offices, right? Branch offices that God uses for his glory. So there we have it. They're supernatural. We're out of our league. What will we do? Cling to the blood of Christ. Cling to the cross of Christ. That's all we have. But it's mighty. These are powerful things that God has given us, but we must recognize that it's because of our weakness and because those enemies are supernatural. Formidable opponents. far beyond human attacks. Someone says, he attacked me. You get a lot of this. He attacked me. And we say, yeah, I know. Sorry to hear that happened. But it's just part of the, they're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. Make sure you take this home with you. Nobody human is the enemy. Even if someone is out to harm you, they're not the enemy. The enemy is the devil, who would like to wreck your marriage and wreck your life and wreck your ministry. He would if he could, right? He would if he could. But when we stand firm, Paul had the answer. He said, this is the answer. Stand firm. Don't deviate. Don't get off the path. Don't get lazy. You know what? Lazy Christians. Oh, man, we're sitting ducks. We are called to this journey that we're on together. And it's kind of interesting. We just go about our normal life. This is how it's quite, in my mind, it's quite unusual. There's nothing more of a witness and a testimony than a godly family. That defeats the enemy. When mom and dad are in unity together, praying over their children, blessing them with protection, what's more powerful than that? The enemy roaring, trying to wreck a home. We know what that is, right? We've been around long enough together. We know what it is to see homes wrecked. We know the devil comes in and boom, and divorce and broken lives and broken children. And we ache, right, for that. And we see, but on the other hand, what a great testimony. And to have a Christian home where Christ is the center. And we say, Lord, we as a family, we have no strength, and we know the enemy would love to destroy us, so make us strong in you. Watch over us, Lord. Bless us as a family. And I believe he does. And there's nothing more beautiful than unity in the church. Nothing. Oh, it's like the ointment flowing down the beard. It's just a glorious thing. When a church is getting along and they're loving each other, and the enemy was roar with rage. No, they're loving each other. They're surrendering to each other. They're yielding to each other. They're apologizing to each other. They're praying together. What a terrible thing. I've got to stop the prayer. I've got to stop the preaching. I've got to stop this. I'm sure the enemy's just so got all, call some more troops in, because the Christians are gathering and they're in unity. We're not looking for trouble. We're just setting up that home, that church over there. We're just minding our own business. And then he comes to discourage, especially to discourage. So these formidable opponents, far beyond human attacks. You see, remember, it's the devil who the schemes of the devil. Oh, the schemes. It's very subtle. It's so subtle you don't even see it until often it's too late. Damage has been done. But Satan's schemes, the arrows. Oh, I've had arrows. You've had arrows. Just come. And how many people have we helped over the years? What are we doing to help? Just gently pulling out the arrows, because they're like a dartboard. You know, they've just taken so many shots and so discouraged. And so I say, remember, this is Satan's who schemes. And so we defend ourselves on the evil day. That's what that passage in Ephesians. The evil day. The day of attack. The fiery arrows. James 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8. Resist and withstand him just by your obedience. That's the greatest thing. Christ has won the battle. I confess that. And that's what we do even when we gather for prayer with the worship team. As we just announce that Christ has won the battle. Now our job is to reinforce Calvary's victory. We just reinforce it. We didn't fight it. Jesus fought it and won it. Our job now is to hold the ground. This coming year, that will be what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Hold the ground. Just, you'll know, you'll see it unfold. Just don't panic. Don't get upset. Just hold the ground which Christ has won. And so as you come out of your house, just picture it. Come out of your house. You open the car door. You get in there. You got your praise tape on. I don't know if you have a praise tape or not, but say, suppose you did. And you just say, Lord, I'm off to work. There will be all kinds of opportunities for me to share Jesus, to be a blessing to people at work. So Lord, make me a blessing. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I put on the armor of God, because I know the enemy will try to discourage me today. So I thank you, Lord, that you have won, and my job is to preserve and maintain the victory of Jesus. So let's go. Away we go. Now you're ready to go. Amen. And that's all. And say, what do you do? The same thing. See, most of the Christian life is just showing up. Just showing up. That you come and you just go about your normal, raise your Christian kids and run your Christian business and just let it be a blessing, let you be a blessing. And then, but knowing that if you see, if you start to make a difference, mostly the devil doesn't care about things because they're just impotent. But when you start taking your faith seriously, which I exhort you to, the only real important place is when you have taken your place. You're standing firm. And take this thing real seriously. Ask the Lord to give you a whole new freshness about this. That this year, you will having done all to stand. Stand firm. Stand there. All those stands that he gives us. They're there for a reason. And by the way, we don't talk about the devil other than describing him. There's no need to talk about him. I've been in conversations, and maybe I even added to the conversation, where we're talking more about the devil, we're talking about the Lord. What the devil did, and the devil this, and the devil that, and the devil, oh, stop it. Let's not give him any glory. Don't give him anything. Don't give him anything. Just talk about Jesus. You know, even in a room, when people talk about occultic things, it gets kind of cold in that arena. I say, oh, it's kind of cold in here. Of course it is. That's why I say, well, why don't we just praise the Lord for a few minutes here? And as soon as you begin to praise the Lord, that coldness lifts. It's always that way. So, amen. So, Lord, thanks be unto him who gives us the victory. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your death, your burial, your ascension, and your seating at the right hand of the Father. Oh, and glorious. Lord, you're reigning and ruling. Lord, we know that any day now, the major troops will come, and you will put your feet on the Mount of Olives. And we say, we haste the day. Lord, we haste the day when you come to make everything right. And we bless you. I pray, God, for all my brothers and sisters here today. I pray that you will make them strong in you and the power of your might. I pray, Lord, they will know how to yield, how to stand firm, not to panic, not to attack, but to stay rigid before you. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. What a great God you are. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that this year will be a powerful year. We pray, Lord, your protection over us as we go, as we move forward, as we seek to see people added to your kingdom. Lord, we bless you, and we pray that you would use us significantly. And we'll give you thanks and give you praise, give you glory. Lord, we welcome 2015. We welcome it. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the year the Lord has made. And we've been brought to your kingdom, Lord, for such a time as this. So thank you for how you're going to use us. Take away all fear from us. Lord, deliver us from fear. And may we walk in faith, full of you, full of the Lord Jesus, full of the Spirit. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. What time are we? Oh, yeah, sure. We've got a few minutes here. You know, when I was growing up as a teenager, of course, my family didn't go to church, but my sister and I went, and there was always, midweek especially, there was always a testimony service. That has gone the way of a lot of things for some reason. But I always like to, you know, of course, the problem was that somebody always shared the same thing. And it was a bit of a discouragement after a while. We knew that Brother so-and-so was going to be talking again, and we're just... Not that it was so bad, it's just that we heard it about 1,000 times before. So, keep it fresh. That's what he's trying to say. That's what the man's trying to say. So, who would like to give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness? Oh, boy, look at this. Okay. Vic, yeah.
This year, when I think where I was this time last year, I was still in the process of getting out of debt. I had been enslaved for so long. But this year, that came to an end. God set me free from it. I'm totally debt free now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's wonderful. Sure, convict us all after we spend it all. No, excellent.
Christmas debt this year.
Yeah, good. Please, Joan.
I just want to say, last year, just before Christmas, there's a couple that I know for years in Maine, Bill and Nita White, and they passed away just before Christmas last year. And the winter was so bad I couldn't get home or get there. So I prayed to the Lord what I could do, and he suggested I invite her out here, you know, just to separate her from everything that's familiar and give her kind of a break. So she came out in the summer, and I just want to thank the Lord, because the sisters that I share in the group, my growth group, they just surrounded her for 2 weeks, invited her to things, loved her, cared over her.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I just want to thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Wow. Yeah, see, that's great. Faithful God. Somebody else. Okay, this side. Wayne.
Well, I'm thankful for 4 things. Oh.
Yeah, thank you. Good word. A declaration of the things he's grateful for. And we're grateful for you. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that too. That's real from her heart. Now, good. Good word. Bobby.
Defeat all that, you know, it's just my spirit who can give you strength. And it's my spirit who would, you know, release you from this struggle, and he would give you the encouragement, the energy, and the knowledge how to go around it. So it was so totally important to me that I don't have to be worried about any of this. I just talk to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and he would make things, you know, goes in my favor.
Yes.
So I just want to share that that Holy Spirit has been brought me to a new level of maturity, and how to be able to be just be humble and say,
yeah.
I'm lacking encouragement. I'm lacking energy to come before you, God, and the Holy Spirit will give you all that. And this is what I want to share.
Yeah. And I can see that the communion of, you know, the Bible says the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what's going on, that communion. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Down below, is there one? Oh, sure. Yeah, please, Ken. Wow. Now that's cramming for the finals. That's wow. Wonderful, Ken. Wonderful. I'll take a couple more here. Yeah, please, Kelly. Yeah, amen. She refuses to be tied down. But this is wonderful. Is this not how God has been so faithful? We know the story, right? So beautiful. Please, Jess. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, faithfulness of God. Okay, this, we're on a roll. A couple more. Just quick ones. Please. Oh, yeah, good. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Keep it a little bit louder. If you didn't maybe catch all of that, what would happen if the Lord was to withdraw his hand of blessing and protection? How desolate you would be, and all of us. Yeah, amen. Yeah, good, good word. All right, we'll take one more. These are really valuable. John. Yeah, yeah, that's right. On Christ, our solid rock, we stand. All other ground. Is that it? Oh, yeah, please. Yes.
Feeling. And I finally got some peace. And I finally got some sleep. And like I said, if it weren't for Tony and his wife, I don't think I would have been that close to him. I was raised. My grandfather was a Baptist minister. So, I mean, it just felt differently.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. And bless the Lord for Tony, who just was one of God's instruments to encourage you. Well, the coffee pot is on. I think it's doable out there. So thanks for being here. Happy New Year. And give a number of people a handshake and a hug if you'll do that. It's in